Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today's show was inspired by a call from the Mat-Su Borough, letting us know here at Hometown Alaska that for 9 years, the borough has sponsored a once-a-year, one-stop shop to learn all you need to know about how transportation might change in your area. The Valley has big transportation issues, the commute into Anchorage, upgrades on the Glen Highway, ambitions for rail extensions to Point McKenzie, and oh yes, the Kinnickarn Bridge. With budgets tight, what is realistic? What's actually getting done? Anchorage has lots going on too, from a growing commuter bike scene to road upgrades around town and even a reconnaissance engineering study of the Minnesota Drive corridor from Westchester Lagoon to the Seward Highway. How do the Valley and Anchorage fit together over transportation? And within any one community, how do you coordinate driving, biking, busing, and walking? Here to help sort it out and point to the projects we need to know about are our transportation planning experts, and I'd like to introduce them right now. We have Jessica Smith, a transportation planner from the Mat-Su Borough.
Hi.
So glad to have you with us, and I know you're fighting a cold, so thanks for showing up and giving it all the team try.
Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you. And you guys, you launched this show, really, by bringing up your fair, so that's really cool. We also have Jamie Acton, a transportation planner with Anchorage and with AMATS. AMATS is Anchorage, is that right?
Yeah, AMATS is part of the municipality of Anchorage, but we operate as a metropolitan planning organization. So we're housed within the municipality, but we operate separately.
What I love about the name AMATS, of course, I had to look it up, and Solutions is part of, that's such a great acronym. Yeah. So Solutions, Transportation right. Solutions. We also have Jim Amundson on.
Yes. Thank you for having me, Kathleen.
And you're with the Alaska Department of DOT, the
Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
And you have been here for a long time, and many people, when I was looking for someone, they said, you got to get Jim. So thank you, Jim, for being here. Really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
And in about 15 minutes, we plan to have Bart Rudolph with us. He is the People Mover Planning Manager, and we wanted public transportation to be a part of this show, and we talked him into, he's a busy guy, but we got him on the phone, and we're going to hear a little bit from him about 2:15. So if you have public transportation questions, you can ask him anytime, but we will have Bart with us then. So let me throw out our phone numbers. You know, if you commute from the Valley or you love going up to the Valley on the weekends for all the beauty that's up there, you're probably familiar with the roads and a lot of the changes that are going on. But we're also trying to open this show up to people who are interested in, you know, riding the bus down from the Valley. How does that happen? Riding the bus around the Valley or riding the bus in Anchorage or even bike commuting or walking, things like that. You know, I called the show Getting Around South Central, and I mean it really in the broadest sense. So if you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. In Anchorage, our number is 550-8433, and statewide it is 1-888-353-5752. And we can also take an email from you at hometown@alaskapublic.org. All right, so let's jump in. It is a mammoth topic and a little scary to try to organize, but I decided we would start. I'm going to start with you, Jim, and just sort of say, what are three big projects you're working on right now that you think the public needs to know about, would love to know about? What would you say?
Probably the single biggest project that's about to kick off is we're going to be going to construction on the Seward Highway between Diamond and Dowling. We're going to continue our widening effort that stopped at Dowling and extend from Dowling down to Diamond out to a four-lane each direction with improvements to the on-ramps. We're going to include a connection underneath the Seward Highway at 76 to get an additional east-west connection going. Besides,
is it going to be a road or just a trail?
It will be all of the above. It will be a bridge to carry the highway over the top of a road connection. It will be a road with separated pedestrian facilities as well as bike lanes.
So there's a lot going on the Seward right now, and you're just going to extend that farther south.
We're going to keep right on going south.
Okay. Do you have a two and a three you want to talk about?
Oh, sure. For many of the folks in the Valley, you're about to see the construction, and the signs are already up. We're getting ready to resurface between Eklutna and Eagle River. That's going to have a pretty big impact going forward. They're going to get most of that done this fall before the white stuff starts flying.
Really?
But we expect a bunch of that to still have to carry over into next spring as well.
Okay.
Number three would be the continuation of the Parks Highway project. that's currently trying to widen the Parks Highway as you come out of Wasilla heading north.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a new railroad bridge getting constructed over the course of the winter. There's been a whole lot of dirt work that everybody's got to spend the summer watching going on the side of the highway.
Right.
And that work's going to continue on, and early next spring we'll be flipping the roads so that the traffic will be driving on the new chunk of highway while we then go back and make improvements to the existing highway, because those are going to become the southbound lanes.
Okay.
So all three of those projects are big projects, a lot of work going on. And we've got a number of other projects that I'm sure we'll probably get to before we're done.
We'll come back to you. And these projects are the ones that you just described are funded already, so we're not afraid that we'll get halfway and they'll be stopped. No, we're going to finish
those. Those are all projects that the money is in place. The construction is either under contract or about to be advertised for construction.
And there go.
And they're all going forward.
Okay, I want to get our other guests in here to talk about their projects, but I promised Jessica that I would mention the date of the Matsu Burroughs Fair, which is coming right up, and it is next Thursday, September 22nd, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Raven Hall at the fairgrounds. And this is year nine, and I read that, like, 400 to 500 people come to these things. They've developed a big audience, so that's really cool. And Anchorage has one also. They started theirs, I think, 3 years ago. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Do you want me to correct you now or
later? Yeah, you correct me. Just jump right in, Jim.
We actually had two transportation fairs back when Mark Baggage was the mayor.
Okay.
Back in the late 2000s. We went through a hiatus of about 6 years with no Anchorage-based transportation fair. And 3 years ago, the Department of Transportation got with the city and said, hey, we've been having good success up in the valley with this.
Let's do it.
We'd like to reinitiate here in Anchorage as well.
Okay.
And this will be the third year for that. And that's going to be on February 15th. Over at the Alaska Airlines Center from 4 to 8.
Very cool. I think it's hard to stay on top of things as a citizen. And having these opportunities for people to drop in after work. And I noticed in both cases there are snacks mentioned.
Yes.
I thought, well, that's really great. If you have provided a little food, you're going to have a little support from the public. So we are also getting some calls, so I'm just going to go ahead and... Oh, okay. Never mind. We'll be back to that. So let's go to you, Jamie. You are a transportation planner with AMATS. Tell me, what are you working on that's big in your life in transportation?
So working with AMATS, we primarily plan for surface transportation, and with exception of, the work that BART does with public transportation. So right now, probably our top three projects that we have going on are the Spinard Road Corridor Plan, and that's really kind of taking a look at the transit-oriented development, and, that's a really great effort and has had a huge public involvement component.
Yes,
so
yes.
You talk about how people can get involved, and that has been a great model for public interaction with a highly visible project. So
how much more? I mean, there's right there by REI and Benson, is it, or Northern Light? Anyway, right there when you're sort of going north, I remember changes there. What's up for that? What's coming next? Or lots?
I think there's quite a few changes planned, but I don't think they're quite there yet in their process.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to refer you to Joni Wilm. She
the
and
expert
Dean
on that.
Tobish. Yeah, that's their project, and they're working really hard on that.
But
so
will we see things bubbling up, meetings and things like that soon?
Yeah, so they have kicked off their public involvement and have had some initial meetings. I'm sure you're going to start to see some more as some draft products come out from their deliverables and their efforts, and I'm sure there'll be opportunities coming around those documents that the public will be able to weigh in on and kind of see the work that's been done and where the next steps are going to be.
There's a lot of interest in that.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of interest in that area of town. There
yes.
seems to be a lot of commerce, a lot of, I don't know, fondness for mm-hmm. that part of town. I'm going to take a tiny break. I know, Jessica, we haven't gotten to you yet, but we will soon, and we still need more projects from
Great.
You. But I'm going to go ahead and welcome Paul to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Paul. You have a question about the highway to highway connection?
Yeah, I you know, as I look at the transportation projects going on in the region, South Central, I keep thinking that the elephant in the room is the highway-to-highway connection between the Seward and the Glen Highway. And, you know, the neighborhoods that that connection is impacted, you know, have been detrimentally affected. And, you know, here we are, we're still talking about the Kinnickarn Bridge. And, you know, while during the scoping or whatever, other alternatives were brought up for the connection, you know, going through different parts of town. In reality, I think that we really have to focus on, you know, how does that Kinnickarn Bridge in the long term, you know, affect the transportation patterns through the city. And I guess my feeling is that connection is just kind of being ignored and neglected. And and while it may be politically and economically difficult to move forward this time, I think that wouldn't it be a good idea if we could start funding forward that project so that when it does get to a point where we're staring down the barrel and saying, hey, we really got to do something about this, that we'll actually have, you know, at least a beginning of funding in place to move that project forward. I'd take that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a Jim question, AKDOT.
Yes, that would be something that I'm quite familiar
with. Although Jamie might have something to weigh
Jamie's
in on there.
Jamie's probably
too. She's making notes there, so, but go ahead.
And actually, I'm going to jump right into where Jamie's going, which is the AMAT's effort is underway as we speak to organize an effort to take a look at what would be the right answer, what are the alternatives for that. It's a reinitiation of the planning process that got broke off about 4 years ago. It is certainly something that is front and center on any discussion of major improvements within the city of Anchorage. The long-range transportation plan that's going to get updated by AMATS is going to take a hard look at what's the priority of needs. I would be really surprised if that doesn't make it, if not to the top of the list, very close to the top of the list. The challenge, and I guess I'll jump right to it, the funding forward comment is we're currently looking at somewhere between $500 and $600 million for a total federal program for the state of Alaska. You're talking about a project that on its own would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 billion.
Right.
You're talking about a couple of years of the federal program for one project. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a very challenging sell.
Right. I just think that's why we have to start thinking long term on as far as funding goes. You know,
is there a way to pay forward or save? I mean,
not within the current federal program, and I would argue that I currently have somewhere in excess of $1 billion worth of current needs under consideration and under design or in the early planning stages already, not counting this one very large project. So do we want to delay improvements to some of the other critical needs around Central Region in order to put some money into a piggy bank for this one project? I think that's going to be a very challenging issue.
It's a Solomon question.
As not being the political activist here, that's not my job. As the chief of highway design, the decision of which of these projects is more important, which one gets done first, is really a political question. It's the assembly, the administration, and the legislature are the ones ultimately to decide which projects are the higher priority. They tell me how much money I have available to move forward on the different projects. That's what the study that AMATS is getting ready to do is how much money do we need to be asking for?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what that study is supposed to figure out is how much do we need? Mm-hmm. And that will then generate information that the legislature, the governor, the assembly, the mayor's office can all use that to try and make good reasoned and fact-based decisions on how to move forward. Mm-hmm. I certainly agree with the concerns. It certainly does have a detrimental effect on those adjacent neighborhoods. Certainly don't disagree on the prioritization on it. But at the end of the day, that's really what the politicians get elected to figure out. They tell me, go build it. And as soon as I get a green light to go build it, it most definitely will see dirt flying.
You're not hesitating there a bit.
I like to build stuff. That's what I live for.
Jamie, did you want to add any from the AMAS perspective? The question I was thinking is, if Paul's so interested in this, what's the public opportunity to participate with AMAS maybe?
So one of the other projects that I was going to tell you that we're getting ready to kick off is going to be the 2040 Metropolitan Transportation Plan, which is the long-range transportation plan for the Anchorage and Eagle River area. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that will have is a huge public involvement component. There, you'll see public involvement efforts probably kicking off from day one all the way, the life of that project. So
what's day one like? I mean, is it this year or next year?
So I believe they are onboarding a contractor at this point and working through some of those pieces and parts. And then they will hit the ground running with that contractor and start looking at the existing documents and where we were with that and looking at existing conditions and start to really kind of vet the process and look at the funding. You know, Jem mentions the funding and that's one of our challenges is, you know, we got a new transportation bill, but we are waiting for a reauthorization of that bill here, you know, towards the end of the month. And so these are important, and the timing, you know, we work within three different fiscal calendars, all of us. When you talk about money and the way that it can, that it's a game of chess, it's really moving pieces and parts, and then you have the political aspect, and then you have, you know, what color of money is it, you know, and how soon can it be spent, and what kind of hoops do you have to jump through to be able to do that, and it, you know, one of the biggest surprises to me when I came into transportation was it's not just money. You can't just spend it. It all comes with different hoops and strings different
attached.
And so you really have to be aware of that. And, you know, some of these projects are, you know, have multiple funding strings and sources brought into it.
So there's a lot of balancing and responding
parts,
to. You know, I want to bring Jessica in because you're with the borough. I know we've only had two of your projects, but let's hear from Jessica a little bit from your planner with Mat-Su Borough Transportation. What are you looking at out there that's big on your horizon?
Yeah, so what's cool is what Jamie was just describing, a long-range transportation plan and what a metropolitan planning organization calls it is a metropolitan transportation plan, but it is a long-range plan. And in the borough, we also do a long-range transportation plan, and we're on the tail end of finishing up our long-range transportation plan 2035. There's lots of info out on the web because we've been working on the project for a little bit, and it's at msblrtp2035.com. And we should have a public review draft out late this fall, early winter. And so that'll go out, public review, the public's able to take a look at that and review it. And it's the same thing as what Jamie was describing. It's setting forth, you know, policies and visions and ideas for what you want, what the community wants their transportation system to look like in 2035. And that's pretty typical for a long-range plan.
I know, I'm thinking, how old am I going to be in 2035? It feels like, wow, it's a lot.
But 20 years ago probably feels like yesterday,
it
too,
It does
though,
feel
so.
Like yes. Yeah, yeah,
it's right around the corner.
Things are grinding forward. Well, we're going to take another caller. I'd like to welcome Jeanette on Hometown Alaska. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi. First, I would like to thank all of your guests for doing what you do. I can't even imagine, and I do a little bit of rule following myself. So thank you very much. Quick question was, what is it looking like for the Muldoon Overpass upgrade project? Where do we think we might be by the time snow flies on that? It looks really good what we see happening right now. So how far along do they think they'll get before we get snow?
That's another Jim question.
What you see out there on the ground right now is what they're trying to set up for going into the winter in terms of what you actually see on the ground. So where the lanes are right now is what they hope to carry forward through the winter as the lane configuration, so everybody's had a chance to get a little bit used to it before the white stuff covers half of it up. But there will be work going on throughout the winter. They're going to start doing more work on the abutments, which won't have work actually happening in the lanes of traffic. But there's going to be a lot of work that's going to continue to go on through the winter as we try and get the two parallel bridges up and in place early next spring. So then we can flip the traffic come next spring onto the actual new alignment and what that will look like.
Wow, that's great. Well, thank you. That means we can get out and do a little bit of pre-prepping people and sort of get them used to and tell them to be on the lookout for stuff. So
exactly.
On the baseline, that's really helpful. So thank you again very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Jeanette. I do have an email that I think we should probably get to. This is a pothole question. Giggles all around. Pothole repair started the week after ASD went back into session and the week UAA students went back to school, with the Seward being the only way out to the valley and back. Why in the world are we doing potholes repair during peak times when the roads are heavily traveled? And are we currently restriping when the stripes on the road are fine and clearly... Well, there's a couple questions there. So, potholes.
The simple answer on the potholes is we do pothole repair when potholes show up. And for those of you that missed it, the month of August was very wet, and that's what makes potholes. So the month of August was very wet. All of that rain gets down into the subbase, and anywhere you have a weakness or a developing weakness in the subbase, that's when you end up with the pothole. And that's why they're out there patching it as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think anybody wants to be hitting those same potholes all winter long. And if we don't get out there and patch them now, the asphalt plant shut down at the end of September. And what you see is what you're going to be stuck with until about the first week of May.
Wow. See, people don't have that background. It's so helpful to get that back. Jamie, what do you...
So on that note, too, the mayor just launched Anchorage Works, and it's basically an interactive tool to help kind of improve what's going on and report like real-time issues. And so I would just direct everybody to www.muni.org, and there's a link right there on the homepage that you can go in. You can shoot an email saying, hey, there's an issue here and here. You can even attach a photo. It's really great. And you'll get an email right back and responding.
So another way to interact.
Yeah, who's going to deal with it and really have an opportunity to give some feedback about what's going on in our city, where we need to see some maintenance.
That's
or
great.
Infrastructure.
That's great. So so say it one more time. It's called Anchorage Works.
And it's just located on the homepage of the Muni's website.
I'll try to add that link to our...
For those of you that are wondering, if it's turns out to be a road that's actually a state road instead of one of the municipal roads...
Which there are all
tangled
up.
There's already communication in place to get the information from
the
Anchorage
Muni.
Works. Mm-hmm. To whoever owns the road. So
right.
If it's a city project, the city maintenance superintendent gets it. If it's a state-owned road, it comes to our superintendent.
Okay.
Yay, coordination.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we can.
Communication
and
works.
Out in the valley.
And Jessica from Matsu, what are you chiming in here?
All I was going to say is out in the valley, you know, when you're on a valley road, like a borough-owned road, and not a DOT road, we have a road service area hotline, and you can call and say, you know, maybe there's something on your road that you're concerned about, and that's 861-7755. I mean, use that number. We got 1,100 miles of road that they maintain out there.
1,100 miles.
Yeah. More, I think it's plus, you know.
Plus, yeah.
And we add mileage all the time when new subdivisions go in and things. Those roads end up being borough-maintained roads. So, you know, when you have those issues, those potholes pop up or pop down, I guess. Call that RSA hotline.
Yeah. You know, I promised our listeners that we were going to have Brad on, but I don't know that we do. Do we have Brad? We do have Brad. Hello, Brad. Hello?
Oh, this is Bart.
I did it. We joked that I was going to do that, and I did
Bart,
it. Hi, Bart.
Bart, we just changed your name.
Yes, you're no longer Bart.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska, and you are with People Mover. And, you know, I'm sorry that I didn't get to you right at 2:15, but tell us what you're working on and what's important to you at People Mover here in Anchorage. I know you're responsible for Anchorage public transit, not beyond the city, but go ahead.
Right, so we're in the midst of a project called Anchorage Talks Transit, and it's been a large community dialogue that kicked off in May, and we're really talking for the first time about choices and what the community values in transit, and framing them in kind of a financial constraint environment. So really looking at what we want the transit system to look like here in Anchorage by talking about, do we want to maximize ridership, meaning do we want to have The bus come more frequently. People may have to walk a little bit more, and it's only going to be in areas where there's the densest development. Or do we want a model where we talk about connections or connectivity? So do we want buses everywhere so everybody has a little bit of transit? They don't have to walk very far, but the bus comes less frequent. So as part of that dialogue, we heard pretty loud and clear that people are interested in buses coming more frequently. The majority have been interested and willing to walk a little bit further if the bus goes quicker and if it comes more frequently. So we are in the process of illustrating kind of what that means in terms of like what it looks like on a map, because it's easy to say you want one thing and then once you see it, you may want something else. So we are now in the process of illustrating those choices and getting ready to go back out to the public and having another round of dialogue around those key choices.
Wow. You had such clarity about what the public wants, which is a challenge to get to, but it seems like you have a pretty clear picture and a pretty clear direction.
Yeah, we've had a pretty extensive public involvement. We've had multiple public meetings with over 100 attendees, and we had an online survey that kind of illustrated what the choices were, and over 750 people responded to that. And so we've had a pretty good support as far as the public for what they want.
Yeah. I ride the 36. That's my bus. And I have to say that I love the fact that I can put my bike on the bus. And so far, I've never been able not to do it. I'm always worried, will I be the third or the fourth bike that doesn't get to get on? But it hasn't happened so far, although some days it looks pretty, you know, like it might. Let's see, is there a citizen advisory group for people mover? Do you have a consistent opportunity for people who are riders to talk to you?
So we have a public transit advisory board. The members are selected by the mayor, but the meetings are once a month and they're open to the public, and they're the second Thursday of every month at 5:30 in City Hall.
And do you get a lot of involvement there?
We don't get a lot of public involvement unless it's a hot topic, if you will. Mm-hmm. But the things that we talk about there every month kind of relate to the transit service that we put on the ground. So it's very relevant if anybody wants to become more involved or just wants to know what's going on to come to those meetings. And anyone who takes the bus to one of those meetings will get reimbursed with a bus pass again. So it's completely free for them to attend.
Incentivizing participation.
Right.
Does anybody here have a question for Bart?
No, I would just like to commend Bart and his team for the work that they're doing on this Anchorage Talks Transit. This has been an amazing effort, and the involvement and, you know, the efforts that they've put forth to engage the community, all the way from translation services to using online forums and different efforts that, you know, we haven't been using for very long. You know, they're out there, and these guys employed them, and they did an amazing job. So I just commend the work that he and his group are doing.
So watch for part two, and it sounds like we're going to maybe walk a little more to bus stops but have more frequent service maybe as a result of your efforts.
Yeah, that's where we're heading, but we need to go back out to the public and just reaffirm that.
And then once that happens, when would we see the changes begin?
Well, we're still putting together a timeline. We're probably a year out, but anything could change.
Okay. There's still time
people
to get your...
People never could win the lottery.
You could win the ice-breaking and the Tanana and get all that money and have Mercedes buses and all that kind of stuff. All right. Well, gosh, I just really want to thank you, Bart, for taking the time to join us today. And as these changes unfold, it might be kind of a cool thing to have you again and talk about what the public, the riding public, can see. And I guess one last question, and I'll let you go. Is ridership up or down or even, or what would you say?
Ridership is slightly down. It's been decreasing ever since 2008, so that's another reason why we're doing this Anchorage Talks Transit, is we haven't changed our transit system for over a decade. It pretty much looks like it did 10 years ago, so we need to understand if that's really where we want to go or if we need to change it.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say again, thank you, Bart Rudolph, Transport Planning Manager for the People Mover in Anchorage. And we're going to come back for another half hour of talking about transportation in Anchorage and the Valley. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and today our topic is getting around South Central, and by that we mean all the ways that you can get around South Central, from driving your own car to, you know, bike commuting to taking the bus down from the valley or back from, you know, from Anchorage to the valley, all modes of transportation. And we just finished off with Bart Rudolph from People Mover, and I wanted to mention that he will be at the
February 15th Anchorage Transportation Fair will include a large representation from the People Mover. They've got a big booth, and they'll have all the latest information from this effort.
So. And so your point, Jim, was that transportation fair doesn't just mean cars. It means all modes, including trails. I saw, if you go, we have the websites for each of the fairs, and on the right, you can see all the projects and all the agencies represented, and it's very broad. I mean, there's 30, 35 or more on each one.
Yeah, so. There's a large effort to make sure that we include everybody, not just the cars, not just the freight mobility guys, but the trails groups, the bike groups, pedestrian groups in general, People Mover as within Anchorage. We also have up in the valley, the van
pools.
Up in the valley, there's a couple of private nonprofits that are currently doing bus routes. They'll also have a presence there as well. And again, those are going to be next Thursday from 4 to 8 up at Raven Hall. And come February on the 15th, we'll be over at the Alaska Airlines Center out in that main foyer area, as well as back in one of the big rooms.
Right. So that's great. Put those on your calendar. And if you want to know what transportation is going to look like in 2035, you start now.
Or if you want to know what the construction is going to look like next spring.
what your commute might look like.
If one of the things that we include at that transportation fair for both in Anchorage and in up in the valley is there will be corridor maps that if you're trying to figure out whether next summer it's better to go to Seward or to Homer or up to the valley to go fishing, come to the fair. We have a corridor map for each of the corridors that will show where the construction is going to be at for each of those corridors, both for this summer, next summer, and probably the year after.
Do you time it to the fish runs?
I do.
Now, that's planning.
We also look at the winter considerations of getting up north to get snow machining, too. So.
That's true. Okay. So, anyway, I really want to thank Bart for taking the time to call us and talk to us about People Mover, and I did not know about the Transit Talk, so that's actually pretty interesting. It's kind of sad to see that the ridership has declined, and I was thinking with economic challenges, we'd see more people getting on the bus because it's such a reasonable ride.
Yeah, it's interesting that that's not a direct correlation, that gas prices don't always drive ridership. And so as we see that fluctuate, it's not a given. And so, you know, with them being People Mover, really taking a microscope to the existing system and going back out to the public and say, hey, what is it that you want and where do you need to go? You know, that's a really great way for them to evaluate the service that they currently have and go ahead and move forward with whatever asks they need to meet
Make
the public need.
Right. You know, let me throw out our numbers again. We have had a lot of good questions, both by email and by phone. In Anchorage, you can call us at 550-8433. And statewide, it is 1-888-353-5752. And we do welcome your email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And I can see we have an email, and I think I'll just go ahead and take it here. This is coming from Elizabeth, and she says that she lives near the intersection of O'Malley and Commodore. O'Malley narrows into one lane before that intersection. A good portion of the eastbound traffic turns left from O'Malley onto Commodore. Do you have this in your head? Is this a DOT road?
This is a DOT question.
Creating a de facto left turn lane very close to the center traffic line. Oncoming westbound traffic appears over a hill, making it difficult to time the left turn onto Commodore. I know of some accidents. So she's concerned about this, and she has sent us two pictures in it. Make sure you get them, Jim. But can you address that a little bit?
I can directly address that. There's going to be a construction project that will be breaking ground next spring to directly address that location, as well as everything else from the new Seward Highway over to Lake Otis and up to, I think it's Livingston. It's about the second intersection going east up the hill. All of that construction is going to be kicking off next spring. It will be widening it out, adding a left turn lane where left turn lane is needed. It will be also addressing left turn lane issues. Right now, for those that are familiar with it, the area on O'Malley where you get the bottom of the dip. At the bottom of the dip, we currently have a nice new road off to the north that you can't get to if you're going eastbound. And we're going to be adding a left turn lane to that location. We're also going to be building up the bottom of the dip a little bit and shaving off the hill in question to try and improve some sight distance.
Sounds like a lot of work,
and
it sounds like
a big project.
You were aware of this issue for quite a while.
Yes, we are, and that's part of what's driving the project is we've had one fatality that I know of personally, and there's a number of other accidents that have been happening in this area, and that's been pushing. This project has been in the works now for about 8 years.
Oh my gosh, that's an important fact.
One of the hard to stomach portions of my job is these projects, when it comes with federal money, there are a large number of strings and hoops that we have to go through that tend to delay the delivery of the project. And, you know, this is not a new problem at this location. We've known about it for 10, 12 years now.
But
it's just taken this long
to
get through the process of getting the project developed, get it approved by all of the various agencies, getting through the process of buying the additional right of way from the adjacent property owners so that we can go ahead and move forward with building it. And
wow.
It takes a lot of time.
Wow. Well, that was a good question. I'm glad we got that out there.
And it's a very needed project.
Yeah. I'm going to take another call. We have John from Wasilla. Hi, John.
Hi, how's everything going?
Just great. Good to hear from you.
Well, yeah, I heard a gentleman from People Mover on a bit ago talking about updating the system from 10 years ago, I suppose. And I'd suggest that one way that the planners at People Mover might benefit is from actually using the system. They might have more of a feel about what needs to be done. You know, my own self, I used it years ago when necessary, and it was pretty much impossible, you know, for a working person commuting. But if these folks, you know, they've got jobs, if they were to use the system, then that might tell them a lot more than just, you know, polling people, you know, the actual users.
So are you going to take that, Jamie?
Yeah. As a former People Mover planner myself, we were out in the field regularly. We rode the buses.
So you do know the system.
Oh, absolutely, inside and out. So fear not that those
that
planners are out there and they are using the system. It's kind of like a lifeguard working at a pool that doesn't have to swim laps. You know, you've got to be in the system. You've got to be
in
the water. You're watching. You know, you learn those routes inside and out. You understand the ridership. You really kind of start to get to know the people even that are using the system and that are on those specific routes. And so I would definitely say that staff very well knows what's going on the buses. So.
Okay. All right. And thanks for that question, John. I'm going to welcome Carrie onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, Carrie.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
My question was, you know, since you guys have like a 35-year out plan or whatever it is.
I was shocked.
We've had the growing valley population for, I don't know, the last 20 years, fastest growing place in the state. And yet we still don't have a straight through where commuters can get out of Anchorage without hitting stoplights and thereby causing.
The Wasilla bypass? Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Like major cities, they all have a freeway where you can avoid the traffic lights. If you want to get, you know, in and out of the city in an efficient way.
Oh.
And we don't have that. We
okay.
don't have a.
I know when I was researching and getting ready for this, I saw references to studies about a Wasilla bypass, but I don't know the latest. Who wants to jump in?
Well, I was just going to say thanks for calling in. Yeah, and that's something that as the valley grows, and the valley is growing super, super fast. I mean, just the core area and down KGB, as I'm sure our caller knows, I mean, it's just blowing up with population. And so I do want Jim to address what I think you're referring to as the Wasilla bypass. So the Parks Highway is a DOT highway, and then, of course, at the borough, we work on the other parts of the system too, mm-hmm. but we work in tandem with DOT. And I just want Jim to chat a little bit about what kind of project that is and talk about some long timelines.
Well, actually, I was wondering about getting through Anchorage.
Oh, Anchorage, never mind.
Yeah, with no stoplights, getting onto the Glen and getting out to the valley, but going through Anchorage without any stoplights like major cities have.
Huh.
The first major effort to try and address that problem was held back in the 1980s, and it was part of the 2020 program. And that was where Highway to Highways as a concept was initially kind of floated and was trying to advance. But just like a lot of really large, complex projects, there are a lot of different opinions, and it's also an incredibly expensive project. And when you've got competing needs and competing demands, all of that ends up getting taken into effect when something is getting advanced to go to construction. And in the case of Highway to Highway, I would suggest that the political reality brought that to a grinding halt when we couldn't get good consensus on what was the right method or the right route.
Is that when they were talking about a highway out in the inlet a little bit? I remember
there were options were included going all the way up into the foothills through Bicentennial Park. There were options that go through right the middle of Merrill Field. There are corridors and options that followed the existing highway routes. The challenge is all of those had their proponents. All of those had their very ardent opponents.
Oh, and opponents.
And through just like most political processes, it takes a compromise in the end to decide which one is the right answer. And to date, there has not been a political resolution to that of what's the right answer. We are getting ready to start a new effort at that to try and come up with a alternative that everybody can agree to.
Is this your long-term planning, AMAT's long-term plan? Or
part of it would be part of the Metropolitan Jamie? Transportation mm-hmm. Plan. Mm-hmm. And then there was also a resolution that was passed at the policy committee that Patrick Flynn, Assembly Member Patrick Flynn mm-hmm. Brought to the table and to the committee, that basically encouraged DOT and AMATS to resurrect the effort and look at what it would take to look at kind of the whole corridor in a holistic method and reevaluate Highway to Highway.
I have heard people talk about 5th and 6th in downtown, mm-hmm. that it feels like you really are moving, you're on a mission to go somewhere else. You're not really in downtown, so people in downtown aren't that happy about it. And I'm talking about pedestrians, I mm-hmm. think. So it's interesting. And, of course, I'm sorry I got us off on the Wasilla bypass because I misunderstood. But it is interesting when you have these congested areas and people bound for someplace else, they want to move quickly through them. But it's a process of figuring that out. I'm going to take another caller. I'm going to welcome Steve to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. I was just wanted to give my testimony about being a substitute teacher living in Spinard for 3 years, I was able to bus, bike to my job, sometimes knowing only that morning where I was going. I did that for quite a while, and I found it very usable. You know, you just have to think like a bus driver, a rider. You can't think like a car owner. The other 2 days I took my car, but it sure saved on gas over the years. And also, it's just sweat and thinking. I mean, I like sitting on a bus and just, you know, having my own thoughts instead of having to pay attention to not crashing.
Right.
So I give you accolades for certain areas in town. You just can't paint a broad brush and say, you know, people mover doesn't serve the town. It just has its high points and low points. Mm-hmm. And I'll stop right there. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Steve, for calling in. Have you participated in the transit talks at all?
No, none at all.
But you're busy riding the bus. That's good. Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Let me think. I have email coming in. This is, you guys have a very popular job. Everybody wants to tell you how to do it, right?
For Kathleen, I think it was so cool he called in to say that he could do it. I lived in downtown Anchorage before moving out to the valley and going to work for the borough. And I rode the bus every day to work. And that was, and what he said, you have to think like a bus rider. It's doable.
Yeah.
It's really, and it's really cool. I mean, I had a lot of fun doing it, meeting people. Knowing your ridership.
Yeah, it's nice not to have to drive.
You get a different vantage point of your city as well. Mm-hmm. You know, sitting on the bus, and it's great to hear those stories of when it really does work, because so often we hear that it doesn't work. And mm-hmm. so it's great to hear that, you know, hey, I was able to make this work. And one of the tools that I've been working on is a multimodal web-based trip planner.
Is that the Link AK?
Link AK.
Oh, yes, I do have the link on our website, but do talk about it.
Yeah, no, I was just, it's one of those tools that we've been asked for and asked for and asked for, and it's coming. So it's really exciting. And basically, you're going to be able to put your A to B in, and it's going to pull up every mode that is viable for you to take that trip, whether it's biking, walking, taking transit, taking a carpool, using a vanpool, or even driving in your own vehicle.
Right.
So,
is it up? I believe once you sent me the link and we were getting ready for the show, I went and I registered.
Yes.
And I was able to do it. So it's up and functioning.
Well, so it hasn't launched yet. We're still populating some information. One of the last pieces of data that we're pulling together is the Valley Mover transit schedule, so that it'll kind of connect the region so that you will be able to, you know, start out in the borough, take a Valley Mover bus, bring it into Anchorage, transfer onto a People Mover bus, or make a bike trip, or walk it, or join a carpool to get to where you need to go.
So all that,
all of that.
Wow, that's really interesting. Okay, so that's that's a new tool that's coming up.
Yep.
Let's see. I have another bus question. Mm-hmm. This person is concerned about Eagle River. I stopped using the bus because of the cuts that were done in Eagle River. Will there ever be improved now? You may not have the answer to that. That may come out of the transit talks. Do you know anything about when they do pull a route? Is it because it's not being used? Can you? We can't. Maybe this is not specific to Eagle River.
I think Anchorage Talks Transit is going to be insightful for what's going on in Eagle River. There is the Eagle River Connect service, and there's more information on that at peoplemover.org.
Mm-hmm.
But I was working for People Mover at the time when the first cuts started to come through. And I will tell you that it was not done lightly.
Mm-hmm.
There was a ton of analysis that went into looking at the productivity and the ridership and, you know, all of the things that go into looking at routes and when we have to start to cut.
Mm-hmm.
Riding from Eagle River into Anchorage is unique. It's not like any of the other routes that we see circulating throughout the town. There's one place for you to get on, and there's several places for you to get off once you get into town. And so you don't have that turnover of passengers. And so valuable service, really used service, but there was a lot of analysis that goes into looking at what we need to do. And so you still have that commuter service that you see. That circulator service that goes through Eagle River is what essentially was cut because of
the ridership. Oh, so you can get from Eagle River to Anchorage, but you can't sort of be collected in Eagle River. Okay.
Right.
So
that's where the Eagle River the Eagle River Connect service comes into play, but also
Yeah. Okay. And we have another. I can't believe how popular transportation is. It's very.
It connects everybody.
It does.
That's why I love it so much.
Let's see. Jonathan is saying, do you know when the trunk road extension to Makatans Elementary will? Boy, that's a very specific question. Makatans Elementary will be completed. Will it include a bike path? Thank you. No.
In this case, you're looking the wrong direction.
I'm looking.
It's tongue in cheek. That's actually going to be, and that portion of the extension is being done by the MATSU.
Okay.
I know they're actively working on it. That was what the roundabout that just got put in is the first step towards getting that extension down to Makatans.
Okay. Do you have anything to add, Jesse? Oh, go ahead.
He's telling about what I know. So at the borough, I work with the capital projects folks, but mostly I'm in long range planning. But Jim's telling you what's there, and they're just waiting on everybody's everybody needs a little extra money, and that I do know that's a piece of that to try and get that finished up. So
okay, so but it, at least we have a plan, and
absolutely.
Does it include a bike path? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know. I haven't looked at that plan.
Okay.
Do you remember, Jim?
Did not review that plan
just
set.
Before. Okay, all right. Sometimes we can't know every answer.
I would be happy to direct them to Brad Schwartz at the Capital Projects Department at the Borough.
Okay,
he can answer that question.
This is another email that came in from Jeff, and it was a question that I had when we were starting on the show. And his question is, when are we going to have daily rail service from the Valley to Anchorage? Everyone I talk to wants it. And I actually called Alaska Railroad because I saw that they were on the Matsu Fair on September 22nd. And I did speak with them, and they essentially said this is not the financial climate. That was the answer that I got. I don't know if anybody else here can jump in there. It's not the right time for them to do this.
I'll give you an anecdotal comparison. The Metro service in Washington, D.C., with the density of people that you have in Washington, D.C., still needs supplemental income from the state and others to make that pay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the density of what you got there compared to the densities of the population in the valley and in Anchorage, and put that into perspective, we need a lot more people before having a transit rail or a passenger rail system is going to really pencil out.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the best comparison to that is look how much it costs to take the train to the fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much does it cost? I did it once when my daughter was young. It's been a long time, though.
A lot more than it costs for a tank of gas.
Uh-huh. So it doesn't, Unless you really don't want to drive.
Unless you really don't want to drive, it does not pencil out.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that we already have some really great investments in options, in travel options that could take some of the pressure off the highway and mm-hmm. off the commute. You know, mm-hmm. we have an investment in Vanpool. We can incentivize carpooling. You know, we have options. You've got Valley Mover coming in $10 round trip on Valley Mover, mm-hmm. you know, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really can't beat that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So,
lot less than a tank of gas.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and you're not, it's not the wear and tear in your vehicle. You know, the Vanpool program, they have a I don't want to call it a voucher program. They just switched over. But basically, there's the programs in place to incentivize use and to get people out of their vehicles and to ease up on the congestion and to really, really help with that. And so I think it would be really great to, you know, while we talking about commuter rail and things like that is exciting and it's, you know, fun to think out and, you know, dream and things like that. But, you know, really right now with the state of our state's finances and things like
it's
that, it's like, what's the reality and how can we maximize those current investments that we already have?
Mm-hmm.
So I really, you know, I
to
hate to be...
To solve the same problem. Too,
yeah, to solve the same problem, moving the same groups of people. You know, how can we do that with the investments that we're already making? And that's not as sexy as a new project or a commuter rail. And so, you know, people struggle with that a little bit more. But, you know, commuter rail is always going to be part of the conversation. How many of
like
our adopted plans?
Yeah.
Yeah. You
someday,
know, it's someday. Yeah. Uh-huh. But, you know, right now, today, with, you know, the fiscal climate that we're in, it's like, let's look at our existing, you know, our existing options.
Yeah. And it is.
And maximize those.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, it's not bad to dream, but and it makes me think of, you know, champagne dreams and a beer budget. Sometimes you have to.
We're on a PBR budget.
We're on a tap water budget right now.
Right.
So, Jim, I'm going to throw our numbers out one more time. We could probably take one or two more calls at 550-8433 or an email at hometownalaskapublic.org. But, Jim, I wanted to talk to you about road recipes because I had been noticing brown pavement around Anchorage. And I have also known civil engineers who are working all the time about the right recipe for roads. And you would think that would be settled by now. But no,
I'm one of those engineers you're talking about.
Yeah.
We're constantly working on trying to come up with the better recipe, if you will, for coming up with an asphalt road that will last longer, will take the abuse of the studded tires and will hold up to that abuse and provide you better friction and so that your tires are, so you're not sliding off into the ditch.
Which is so
and
scary.
Things,
yeah.
And things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The brown pavement that you're talking about actually is a recent federally funded test project that we're doing. We're literally taking an epoxy, which is a very expensive glue, and then we're adhering a calcium bauxite aggregate, which is basically what you see on sandpaper.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in effect gluing sandpaper onto the road in locations where we've had particularly high accident rates caused by vehicles losing traction, either sliding off the road or if you notice, a lot of the locations are at intersections where the traffic coming up to the intersection, in most cases, you've got a downhill coming into the intersection, and it's problem mm-hmm. areas where we're regularly having cars trying to stop and end up sliding into the intersection in icy conditions. This calcium bauxite is supposed to, and based on the current testing, is giving us about twice the friction and resistance that normal asphalt would do. One of the portions of the big test is how long will it last? It's been tested fairly extensively in places like Pennsylvania, where they've had great success with it. Unfortunately, Pennsylvania doesn't run studded tires.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it works great for them. They've been getting anywhere from 3 to 5 years of use before they have to come back and put down another coat. That works great for their turnpike, where they've got a lot of toll revenue to help pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're concerned on how it pencils out in the end for us, because among other things, it's been costing us somewhere between $30 and $40 a square yard. Compared to normal asphalt, that's about 10 times as expensive. Now, if it saves a few lives,
it's worth it.
That's mm-hmm. worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But it needs to last a while for that to actually give us a benefit
mm-hmm.
for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the test locations you see out there were paid by a special federal program that will also pick up the tab for doing the monitoring and letting us actually do the study for those results. But at the same time, our big concern is whether or not at the end of this, whether they'll pencil out or not. So you might see it now and it might not come back. You might see it again in the future. We're kind of got our fingers crossed and hope we get some good results out of this.
Yeah. And in terms of studded tires, I mean, there's no prohibition. I don't think they'll ever be prohibited, but there are new products on the market. Blitz Tex
tires. There are actually a number of options besides going with the normal studded tires. Some of those have greater or lesser success rates depending on the conditions. For example, a lot of them are actually better when it's snow on the road. Some of them aren't quite as successful when it's ice on the road.
Mm.
And again, it comes back to, where do you drive? What are the conditions that you drive in regularly?
Mm-hmm.
That's what should be driving the people deciding what they want to put on their car.
Mm.
My only advice is don't just keep driving with the bald tires that you got now.
Okay. Good advice.
Get something with some tread.
So thank you. We've had a great hour talking about lots of local transportation issues, great calls. And thank you very much to my guests, Jessica Smith, a transportation planner from MATSU, Jamie Acton, transportation planner from Anchorage and AMATS, Jim Amundson, chief highway engineer for the Alaska DOT, and Bert Rudolph, public mover planning manager. Next week, I'll be back as your host on our fifth edition of Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska. Our earlier topics have covered choosing judges, finding a lawyer, criminal justice, and family law. Next week, we will talk about the protective role the law has concerning the elderly. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Dave Waldron was our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.